The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Now, just before we get to some of your comments, I want to mention the annual Northwest Breast Cancer Charity Ball, returning on Friday the 1st of December in the Silver Tassie Hotel in Letterkenny. This year's event is set to be even more special with the announcement of two esteemed guests. Ciara Doherty, a popular television presenter, and Mr. Peter Barry, a renowned consultant oncoplastic breast surgeon, will be joining the event as special guests. Funds raised from the special night are invaluable in improving the treatment at the Northwest Breast Centre. Mr. Michael Sugrue, consultant breast and general surgeon at Letterkenny University Hospital, has been emphasising that the profits from the ball help advance research into clinical care at a local level. The ball's a brilliant way to connect with family, friends and colleagues while raising money that will help make life-saving research, education and care happen into the future. The upcoming event promises to be as thrilling as ever, with Red Alert providing the music and Noel Cunningham acting as the MC. The festivities begin with a drinks reception at 7:15 on December 1st, followed by a delicious three-course meal and dancing. Tickets can be purchased now from the Silver Tassie Hotel for just €50, so you can have a great night out there and support that excellent research that's ongoing there. January 2020, I just read that one, I beg your pardon. This is always being blamed on young people. Nothing ever said about the older men who have their few pints and a drive home. I think that's, it wasn't me that mentioned younger people in particular. In relation to drug driving, that comment was made, not drink driving. It was specific to drug driving. The profile for drug driving does tend to be younger people. But in terms of drink driving, it's across the board and perhaps even maybe the older generation more responsible than the younger generation. But look, we're not in the blame game. But I think it's generally accepted that drug driving is a greater issue among younger people. Nice to hear the Head in the Sand gang now willing to talk about payment and accommodation for refugees. Funny how they'll talk now when before, if anyone talked about this, they were classed as racist or far right. Where was that? Maybe it's in different channels. I don't know. It's certainly not here. Everyone's entitled to an opinion that's respectful of others. But anyway, the country is a mess and it's too late, in my opinion, to make any drastic changes now. Last year, this is a few on scams, by the way. I'll tell you what I've been getting an awful lot of scams for lately, and it doesn't seem like a great scam, but one to be aware, just in case you're in the market, is job applications. Being invited by a text and WhatsApp to apply for a job, or it says that, you know, we received your application, and so on and so forth. I've never really pressed any of the links or what have you to test how that is a scam, but anyway, that's another one that's doing the rounds at the moment. Something to do with job offers or what have you. Maybe they're getting the information from LinkedIn. I don't know. Last year, my card was tapped in a shop in Kyiv. I phoned the bank saying, I've never been to Ukraine. It got sorted, thank God. Hi, Greg. Have you heard of anyone's phone number being cloned? These past few weeks, I've been receiving calls daily from strange numbers who said they've missed a call from me, but I haven't rang anyone. I contacted my service provider and they said there's nothing they can do about it. Yes, cloning of phone numbers is common practice now. It is the norm. The days where it was a strange international number are over. They can ring you and it might appear that it's anyone's number. It's eventually, though, they're going to clone a number that is a real number and you're going to get the call back. So, yeah, it sounds, but you're in no danger. They just have software on a computer that can generate the appearance of a telephone number, but it doesn't mean that you've been compromised or you have to worry about your number. They'll move past it and on to the next number soon enough, so those calls might dry up. So I wouldn't be concerned, but that's what's happened. And they can clone any number at all. They can clone the local Garda station, the council, passport office, any number. But often they just randomly clone 087, 086, 085 numbers. Greg, I got 4 or 5 of those messages for to collect a parcel in the last 2 weeks, but I ignored them. That's right, Eunan. I was almost caught recently by scammers when they called. They could tell me where I was the night before and that I had spent money or what I'd spent it on. So it was almost felt real. The scammers are getting better and better at catching you. My conclusion was I hooked into open Wi-Fi when I was out, and I think that is how they gained access to my phone and hence everything. Wow, worrying. We've heard of them knowing your name or your surname or something. You know, some bits of information that can be gleaned from a hack, for example, of a big company. But for them to know where you were the night before, how specific were they? Was it like somewhere local or was it an airport or what's the story? Just text us back because my curiosity is up. Calls every day from Air. They tell you you've a fault. No, it's not from Air. It's someone purporting to be from Air. They're telling you you have a fault on your computer and to go open it up. Now, no offence to Air, and I've dealt with Air in the past, but they don't have the best reputation for customer services. And a lot of people complain that you can't get through to them if you've got an issue, not just them, but other companies as well. And as I say, you know, I've dealt with Air in the past. I didn't have any real problems with them, but they have a bit of a reputation, which they're working very hard to fix. It would be a big jump from that for them to actually ring you up and say that there's a fault. Can we help you? So please ignore that. But this for this listener, it's happening daily between 7:30 and 8, ringing from a different number every day, foreign accent, English number. Is this happening to anyone else? How can we stop at this? I know it's happening to other people because I've spoken to them in person. So it's not just you. What can you do? Blow a whistle down the telephone? I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't want to hurt their ears. I'm not suggesting you might. Okay, we're going to take a break and then we're going to speak to some of the winners at the gala event on Friday night. It was the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards for 2023. A wonderful event, as always, in the Clannery. Food, by the way, was absolutely beautiful. The food was second to none. I happen to have two starters and a main course, which is a bit greedy. But anyway, you know what? You don't get out that often, do you? So anyway, fair play to Michael and Micheál and all the staff at the Clannery. The food was absolutely stunning and the event was really well put together. And we're going to be speaking to some of those who were very successful at the Business Awards after we take a break. Okay, so we were talking there just before the break about the Business Awards, which took place on Friday, the Letterkenny Chamber of Business Awards. Martin Kelly, Centra Mountain Top, is with me in studio. And he and his company, the winner of the Business, or he personally, Business Person of the Year Award. Congratulations, Martin, but I presume you'd argue you couldn't do it without the team.
Of course, and that's exactly... I said, we would joke internally, you know, I just turn up for the photographs. The staff always get me there.
Yeah.
And have done for years. And I had time to reflect since winning the award. You know, I mean, we would have shared our vision back in November 2011. And there was a 5-year vision at that point. And our staff has been with us throughout that journey since September 2011 when we took over. And they've shared that vision and they've helped us realise that vision and they do it and they still realise that vision every day we open our business. They realise that vision for us and we're very appreciative of that and very appreciative of all the staff that currently work for us and staff that has worked for us and has moved on and then staff as well who's passed on as well. So today we remember all those people.
What did you take over in 2011? Compared to what now? Because once something's established, you know, as a passerby or as a customer, you think it's always been there. Yeah, do you know what I mean? But you've been there. So what was there when you took over?
So there was always a good stand there from the time that Drew and Eamon Blaney had it. Mm. Back, I think they originally built the business in 2000. So when they built it, they built a 2,300 square feet store. I think they had hairdressers and they may have had another unit, I just can't remember. Mm-hmm. So when we took it on, we took on, I think, 2,500 square feet and a 40-seater cafe. And we currently, after a number of revamps, sit on about 6,300. So we've trebled the size of the store and we trebled the size of the restaurant as well to a 120-seater diner. And extra parking and so on and so forth and different services as well that we've added on over the years. So a considerable change from its original concept in 2000 to where it is today.
But you talked about a vision and a 5-year vision. Is this where you wanted it to be?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've gone well beyond the first 5-year vision. We would always do 5-year business plans. So we're in our third 5-year business plan. So in the main, I would think, when we review and reflect on what we said we were going to do, we've done it. I suppose this next phase of our business plan is around technology, artificial intelligence, how we can improve the customer experience and make it much more easy. Self-service checkouts is one thing. Some customers like them, some customers don't. In the main, I think customers like them. I know 40% of our transactions go through them, so that tells a tale.
Has that impacted on staff? Because, you know, the big, just whilst you brought it up and recognised that some people, because it's always nice to speak to someone who actually knows the answer to a question, because sometimes we believe we do, but we don't. So do those units display staff? Not, they might from the role of checkout, but from a business?
No, far from it. So if we look at our staff numbers, last year we had 66. And this year we have 76 staff. So we've increased our staff numbers by 10.
Presumably those staff can do things that are more productive. Not to suggest for a second standing engaging with the customer is not productive. Yep. Don't get me wrong. But you know what I mean? From a business perspective, they can be redeployed into other areas of business.
Well, for us, our primary function when we're redeploying staff is to try and get customer service an add-on of value. So customer service value added. So if you think about it, it would be much easier for me to get staff to making sure that orders are correct, making sure there's better product on sale. And if there's better product on sale, that means that the consumer always gets what they need when they need it. Other things, so for example, we're currently looking at a robot that'll sweep and mop floors. And it's very similar to what people have at their house. They've got these robot hoovers. It's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. First thing, foremostly, a customer will get a debris floor. They'll get a floor that's free of debris. And then the staff that were doing that can do more, as you said, meaningful roles, whether that be customer service, ensuring the place is better stocked, ensuring the shelves are better cleaned, whatever the case would be. So, yeah, I think there's always this fear that there'll be displacement. In fact, I think it'll actually grow your business even further, which means you'll need more staff.
If you have more footfall, you need more staff. Now, I mean, obviously, any decisions you make are rooted in business and they're businessly sound, right? But you always seem to be reinvesting in a very organised way and with not a great deal of disruption to the customer. Is that just an onward journey? Like, is that a philosophy of yours? Because there is points, I'm sure, you could go back over the last year, the year before that, the year before that. We could say, right, we have a decent business here. We've got decent infrastructure, good infrastructure, excellent infrastructure. We'll just rest on our laurels now. But you seem to always be pumping money back into the business. I mean, obviously, it's a calculated decision, but what's that rooted in?
Yeah, it's rooted in trying to be ahead of the posse all the time. I suppose that's the phrase we would use, to try and be ahead of the posse. We're constantly looking around the corner for opportunities, but also for risk. So our investment is very much about making sure that we're ahead of the game, making sure that we're ahead of the trend before, let's say, our competitors. And in the main, we've done that. So most recently, we invested in Oreo, the robot. John Breslin would have helped us, I suppose, pick the name for that. So looking around the corner in terms of investment for us is what we're rooted in. But we're also rooted in the community as well. So continuous investment in our community. So most recently, we would have sponsored the under-12s Ilson soccer club. Both girls and boys, and it's that investment in community as well. So there's a number of things. It's investment in staff, investment in community, and then investment in infrastructure, trying to get an understanding of the trends and being ahead of the posse. So if you don't give it away, you can't get it back, I believe.
No, and that's a point I try and make on this programme as much as possible. It is the locally owned businesses that you can actually go and speak to someone and say, look, could you back this or could you support that? And I don't want to elevate you and sound like I'm putting any other businesses down, like the multinationals or what have you. They do their thing. They've got they do their own initiatives in different ways and what have you. But it could be hard to go in and say, listen, could you sponsor such and such or this, that and that? Do you know what I mean? And supporting local and not just the community, but also, you know, local businesses is important too.
Yeah. Very much, we're very lucky that we partner with two big brands in Centran and Circle K, and they certainly do that kind of corporate social responsibility piece really, really well at a national level. But that just doesn't, for me, work. We need to get down to the ground roots. We need to support local businesses. So we try to, where possible, source things locally, whether we need new carpet, we can go to Highland Carpet, we go to, you know, we try and support local businesses ourselves because we know that they in turn then will support us. And it's the same as sort of local community, local teams. So, for example, we've been involved in Thurman GAA Minor Board for the last 10 years. And we've seen those children grow to become customers of ours. So, you know, we have a philosophy where you have to give it away to get it back. And it's a very simple philosophy. You have to give it away to get it back. It's a natural thing for me. It's built in. And then it's built into my management team. So where we can where we can help support local community, that's our primary focus. And then we, for the last probably 5 years or certainly 6 years, we've done local surveys. So we send someone out into the local area and we'll survey what consumers' needs, and then we'll try and bring it back. So for example, coming out one of the surveys was that our deli counter at times can be very, very busy and the queues can be long. So coming out of that, we put in 2 self-serve hot food units. So the deli counter is still there, but consumers who want to get away quickly can now serve themselves and get away. So we do listen to what the community needs. We try to listen intently. And I think at a national level, you can't do that.
Mm. Yeah, squaring that circle is always going to be difficult. Those like taxis. You want a million taxis at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, you don't need 2 at 3:30.
Yeah,
it's one of those situations, isn't it? So where do you... Did you talk about you're developing your 5-year plan now?
Year 2.
Yeah, so like, where do you want to be in 5 years?
I still want the business to be as successful as it is today. I think we are very much grounded in the community, and I think we want to continue with that path. I do believe that technology and artificial intelligence is going to play a huge part in business.
Mm.
And I think it's twofold. I think from a consumer point of view, consumers will want that ease of doing business, ease of transaction. I do know that there is projects or programs within Centra where they're trying to make things, you know, you can use your phone to do transactions. So you literally walk into the store, you do your shop and you walk out and then your phone gets charged. And that's something that may be 5 years down the line, but it's something that's very much part of our own thinking.
Mm.
Artificial intelligence, we're currently coming out of a program with Musgrave's where orders for the shop floor, so anything that's needed on a weekly, daily, whatever, will be ordered automatically. That'll allow managers to look at other commercials within the business. So I think it's just sharpening how we do business.
Yeah. And I think we can see the potential, but as we've discussed in this show before, I think we can't actually see the potential. It's so great.
Yeah.
And where we're going now and how quickly it's happening. And I think it's so far advanced now that we, just the general public, don't really even realise how far that's advancing. How important is it? Well, it's a bit of a strange question because it makes a kind of forcing you to be. But anyway, I'll ask the question: how important is it to sort of get the recognition from the public from your peers in the business community as well, like you did on Friday night to be named the Business Person of the Year?
I think it's more important that my team get recognition than it is for me to get recognition, and I genuinely mean that. I mean, we have 76 staff out over there, and every one of them, from a part-timer to a full-timer to a member of the management, they contribute every day to ensure that me and my family and our livelihood is protected.
Mm.
And that's the way we look at it. So it's probably more important that they're recognised more than I'm recognised. Now, in saying that, you know, I have very proud parents there this morning. And my dad actually asked that I would get this sent on to him as a recording, as he'd like to have it for prosperity. So, you know, I'm proud, of course I'm proud of winning the award, but it's not my primary thought. My primary thought is for my staff and their recognition. Mm. But yeah, I'm very proud. And my own kids are very proud. You know, my wife's proud. It's a proud moment.
Yeah, we can be a bit snobby about jobs too. Again, that's a point I've made in this programme before, in that, you know, if a call centre or something opened, which is fantastic, don't get me wrong, and was creating 20 jobs, you know, you could get the tarnished up for that, cutting the ribbon, do you know what I mean? Or it's lauded if it's a certain type of company, if it's a multinational, what have you. But we have these businesses, the exact same as yours, supporting 76 people in their livelihoods, paying mortgages, putting kids through school, maybe putting themselves through college.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think sometimes just because their jobs are in the retail, they're not... And it's incorrect. They're not given the same, sometimes the same importance as other types of jobs.
It's interesting you say that because Dennis Ferry, who would look after all our company vehicles, only said to me a number of weeks ago, he said, you know, you've helped so many people go through college, get mortgages, get loans, emigrate, holidays and so on and so forth. And I was saying, all right, well, I was going to. Fair enough, Dennis, and thanks very much for that. Until about a week later, a chap who'd worked for us for 5 years who qualified only this year, actually on his last day came to me and said, I want to thank you for putting me through college for the last 3 years. He said, I have learned so much, he said, and I'm going to take all of that learning, because he ended up being a supervisor in the end. And he said, I'm going to take all of that learning and go into his now what he is qualified to become. And I was actually probably more proud of that moment than I had been of receiving an award. And don't get me wrong, the award is great. But hear that back, you're thinking, do you know what, I'm making a difference in someone's life, however small.
No, it's not small. It's significant. Brilliant stuff. And I think everyone should do a year or two in retail or hospitality. I think it's really, just in terms of, especially now with some people might feel we're losing the ability to sort of engage and socialise and what have you, because we're not getting to the whole mobile phone and computery type stuff. But and that's fantastic, and I love technology. And I think you use your business to scratch some of your nerdy technical itches as well.
Well,
if the truth be told. But my point is, so in other words, technology is fantastic.
Yeah.
But you can't beat that sort of, you know, interaction in a retail stroke hospitality type environment.
Well, it's interesting. There's 2 points on that. We took in our own 3 kids not last summer, the summer gone before that, at 13 and 12. And as much as they didn't want to be there, because they're teenagers, they learned so much and had done so much for their confidence. And I have a 15-year-old son now. And now coming out of that, he's now starting to frame how he's going to view his career going forward. And then we see loads of students come in during TY. And you see the TY student comes in and lacks confidence in day one. And they might even be with us for a number of weeks. But by the end of their period, they have really come out of themselves.
It's like sponges.
And they've learned to talk and they've learned to receive information as well. Probably more important, how to receive information. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, without being controversial, I think teenagers can't receive sometimes because they've got so much else going on. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Retail is really good, as is catering industry. The restaurant industry is really good as well for teaching young people to listen and to have the confidence to talk and to answer back and ask questions, I suppose.
And work out that ratio of 2 ears and 1 mouth.
Absolutely.
So is there a second point you wanted to make on that?
No, that's okay.
Listen, Marcin, continued success. Congratulations to you and all of the team, 76 in total. It's really quite remarkable. And it's onwards and upwards. And kind of excited, too, to see from a technical point of view where all that's going as well, because that is the way things are going now. But Marcin, again, congratulations to you, the family, and all of your staff on being the 2023 Letterkenny Chamber Business Person of the Year. All right, we'll be back with more after the break. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme, and I'm delighted to welcome into studio the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards 2003 Hall of Fame winners, James and Anne Russell from Glenard Plant. Both of you, thank you so much for calling up. I do appreciate it.
You,
when did you stop celebrating? Are we as good boys and girls, or
we weren't too bad?
Well behaved.
Good stuff. And when did you establish Glenard Plant?
James established Glenard Plant in 1992. Previous to that, there James had been working with Letterkenny Town Council as a street cleaner in the town. And an opportunity arose to bring a machine into the town, and with a little bit of encouragement, James went for it.
And James, I often wonder, you know, for business people like yourselves there, did you have a plan? Did you see where this could go? Did you take a chance? What, you know, because there's forks in the road in life, isn't it, where we can sort of keep on one path, or we can go, we're going to take a risk on the other one. How was that for you at that time?
Well, I started with the local council in 19, I think there a job opportunity arose in 84. And in 1986 then, with the town council, Donegal County Council had handed over the street cleaning services to the town council. So myself and another colleague of mine, we both took on the role. So we continued that on till 88. Around that, and then there was a first mechanical sweeper come into town. So then there was an opportunity arose then, as time went on, and I thought, you know, I think I would seriously like this here. I think this would be something I would like to do. And I always had an interest in machinery and stuff anyway, you know. So it kind of, from there, we secured the contract, and, you know, just time kept going past us and stuff like that there, and You know, it's hard to believe. I was just thinking this morning there that 37 years tramping up and down the streets, you know, so it's a long time.
You know, you were tramping up and down the clean streets that you've left behind you, I think, really is the situation. And then in terms of the scale of the business, James, was it clear that this was going to become something much bigger in those early years?
In the early years, I didn't plan it. No, I thought, you know, if I could keep maybe a few machines, you know. But as just as time went on, the thing started to, you know, the more demand come on board, we got into some very good work within Northern Ireland. And it just started to grow and grow and grow. And it was growing nearly too fast for us.
Yeah.
You know, because back then, as you know, Greg, there was no, like I was listening to Martin's interview there, like there was, I couldn't share that story. There was no technology. There was no computers. Anne was the bookwoman. Everything was pen and paper. Mm-hmm. I used to sit in a Sunday with her then, and then she wasn't sure about it. I would go through that with her, and that was the way we went. That, you know, but it grew. In 2000, 2001, it started to really take off. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have a son there, Eamon, who from knee height, Eamon was part and parcel of the business. Didn't want to go to school. His teacher reared up one day on me, but Eamon, he was disturbing the class because every time he heard the machine coming up the back road, he was up with the seat. So,
but that's a familiar story. Mm. There's going to be an awful lot of people working in agriculture and different businesses that they've got that son that did that this morning, or that daughter now, as much as anything. Mm. And of course, too, the more plant you get, James, then the calls come in the morning from some fella goes, you know, the I think the gearbox is gone. Oh. I think this, you know what I mean? So the bigger you get, you know, next thing you know, there's more little bits and bobs you have to maintain and what happens.
Maintenance are a big issue. Yeah. Maintenance are, you know, and everything's so expensive, that type of machinery as well, you know. Yeah. But the son then, he moved on more into the septic tank cleaning and all that drain jet and CCTV and that there. And him and Denise now, as there's no question about it. I'm proud of them, to be honest. You know, they're doing a very good job there, you know. Christine's on there as well with them and that there. I couldn't do what they're doing now, to be honest with you. You know, I couldn't do it.
They were able to take the baton and run with it.
Yeah.
So, Anne, talk to us a little bit more about all the business. I think we've touched on much of it, but, you know, what stuff do you do now?
Well, we do what we started off with. We do the road cleaning, and we do septic tank this last few years. And we do CCTV, camera work, drain jetting. We do everything environmental, and that's, you know, that's...
I'd love to have heard the conversation when whoever decided that should we try CCTV as well? We'll not get into that.
But I
can imagine it, you know, I can imagine it because it's like, right, okay. Yeah, but anyway, it all worked out, which is good.
Very well, and like if you're... hard work, and if you are dedicated to what you're doing, and if you keep a clear path, and you know, everything does fall into place, and that it takes a wee while, but everything does fall into place.
And do you have to be really, really cautious with decisions over the years, or do you have to be a bit brave, or a mixture of both? Because as I said to Martin too, there comes a point you could go, are we too big now, or are we big enough, or where could we go? Do you know? And I would be the type of character, I wouldn't be a risk taker, and that's why I'll never have two shillings to run together. Do you know what I mean, Anne?
Well, in our day, was it myself and James, like we had many's a late night and many's a sleepless night, trying to make decisions and that, trying to be brave, to make the move to go forward in that. We always did manage to make the move to go forward. Mm. And James was, like, I mean, his dedication to his work was second to none.
Yeah.
So, and it just, it went from there. Basically.
And James, a word from Anne that keeps, that's jumping out of me is we. Because, you know, you always need someone to back you up or to check you or, do you know what I mean? And I think you both have been very lucky in that yous have... you know, been there to check and balance each other or encourage each other or discourage each other where needed.
There's no question about that, Greg. Like, it took both of us. Like, you know, I couldn't have done what Anne done and her part on it, and probably she couldn't do what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, going back to decisions and that, they're like, no, there are times you make decisions and unfortunately they're the wrong ones.
True enough, yeah.
And, you know, you paid the price for it. But I always said, like, any time whenever I made a decision that went wrong, I always made sure I didn't make the same mistake the next time, you know. As far as growing the business is concerned, either times it would scare me, you know, you can get, because when we've come through challenging times, I think we're going anti-challenging times and that, and, you know, we're very fortunate, we have some very good staff there, you know, but staff is something that's hard to, you know, you know, it's hard to come by at this present moment in time. But look, I always say, look, to be truthful, we can be what we want to be, you know, and we can build it to whatever, you know, but we didn't do it on our own. Like, you do it with a hard work of your own dedicated staff as well, you know.
But you have to look after those staff to get that loyalty too, do you know what I mean? And I think that's sometimes where some businesses fail, that they don't realise it's such a two-way street.
James always had a theory, and it still runs through the business to this day. James always said he would never ask a member of his staff to do a job that he wouldn't do himself.
That's timeless advice, isn't it?
So that bit of advice, I think, is strong. Yeah, and it's good.
And of course, I presume there was regulations and all that kind of stuff from the very, very beginning. But I presume also, since 1992, as we get to now, there's so many more different hoops and to jump through, and all for good reason, I'm sure. And some of it you'd wonder what it's for and all there. But it is a heavily regulated industry, isn't it? And you really have to be on top of that, and which, of course, you are.
There's times it can go over, you know, there's times that there's situations can they can go over the top on it.
I think so.
But, you know, look, you need health and safety, you need all that stuff, but, you know, you also need common sense.
Yeah, and you don't want to frustrate business.
No.
And unfortunately, sometimes that's what the powers that be can do. They can just frustrate the art of doing business.
Yeah, but it's rules are rules and they have to be strictly adhered to.
Of course. And striking the sort of work-life balance, have you been good at that? That he's, you know, James has jumped in on this one. You have just worked yourself to the bone
there. Work, you know, and maybe it's, look, I think it's all of it I knew from was a very young age and that, you know, and, you know, just work, and still, you know, I would never, retirement is not something that's in my books anyway, definitely not, you know. Yeah. I enjoy what I do at the minute, and I'll
so there's the holiday home in Spain out the window. And sorry about that. We just answered that for you, man. From your simple beginnings on this, not far from this site, I think.
We never was people who socialised an awful lot, but on the odd occasion that we would have, there was many a time we could have been ready to go to
and something happened,
and an emergency would come through the phone, and you just had a change your plans, and that was it. Off you go.
The thing I liked about the awards as well on Friday and similar events as well, James or Anne, is the mixture of businesses there. You know, you've got businesses that are, you wouldn't get your hands dirty at them like that, or very technical or what have you, and then you've got, you know, people working in cleaning area, and then you've got people working in, you know, media, or what, you know what I mean? And all under this one roof, and all treated and recognised equally. I like that, James. Did you?
Look, I'll be honest, Greg, I'm pinching myself since, like, you know, I just can't believe it. I've won this award, you know. And, like, there's many a time you're on the town, Letterkenny or any other town, you're cleaning it, and you really do believe you're on your own. You think nobody sees you, nobody cares, you know. Yeah. But for people to see me worthy of this award, like, I mean, I can only just say a massive thank you to each and every one of them. Like,
all,
you know,
the awards are special, but I think the Hall of Fame Award, it recognises everything, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable, lovely. That's what it is, you know. And unfortunately, I have a person all down the years. This is my first time that I've done an interview in my life.
Wow.
That's the truth. Well, I done it with Kieran back a few weeks ago on the podcast.
Doesn't count. We're in the big leagues now. I'm only joking.
But it's only now, since them few interviews has taken place now, it's only, this is where I'm starting to realise the whole thing. And I was sitting in there this morning, and I says to Anne, isn't it hard to believe? I says, I think it was 1982 where you were actually living on the site that you're sitting on here this morning. You know,
you come on so well together.
Yeah, we actually loved you.
And maybe you just were in a hard working bubble, and as you say, sometimes you're not appreciated because you're not looking for people to clap you on the back, but you can feel a bit anonymous at times that you're battering away and you know, you're not getting it. So this is brilliant.
Yeah. You don't look for recognition. Like, when you're doing a job, you're giving it all you've got in that, and hoping that it ends up a good job, and that's all you think about.
Of course, yeah.
But honestly, like, I suppose the other thing that I would just like to say is that, you know, this is a happy place today, you know, but it was hard.
Yeah.
It was not easy. Like, there were many and many a bump in that road, and I'll tell you how we got over it, I do not know, you know. And the only thing kept you going was you kept saying, you know, can't allow this to fail. Like, and then you started thinking, we have a family, we'll mouse to feed here. This has to work.
Yeah.
You know, and you just ploughed away, and many a time you got let down financially and every other way, and you're left standing on your own. You're saying to yourself, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
I've committed to buy this vehicle, and now the bank's prepared, not prepared now to back me. And, like, this is where I would use the trust. Like, you built up a trust with people.
Yeah.
And that you know, and that's what's got us on the road, because instead of you paying back to the bank, you're paying to the person you bought the vehicle off, you know. And they put the trust in you I'll be forever grateful. There's a lot of people out there I'll be forever grateful for them.
Yeah. And that still goes on today. I don't understand, like, it's an old school way of doing business that a certain generation of people listening would know what we're talking about here. I hope we don't lose that, because if we do, we're going to be worse for it, you know? Yeah. Okay. So you've no intention, hopefully, James, you're not going to retire or anything. It's just one of those industries that you can keep at. So that's it, man.
That's the way it is.
I think you love it too, don't you?
Oh, I do, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And it's great that you have a team that...
It's nice that the family's involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Three of her children are involved. One of her girls decided that she would take herself off to Australia a few weeks ago, which was not a nice experience, but... There she is.
I know, and you don't...
Please God, all will be well for her and her husband.
Of course. And you don't want to see them leave, but you don't want to hold them back either.
You don't want to hold them back either. No. So, but no, it's good because we have the other three working in the business and that, and we keep them right and they keep us right, and Brilliant. That's the way it is.
It sounds like you're a wonderful family that'll work, like all families, ups and downs and ins and outs. But, you know, at the end of the day,
thank God we're strong.
At the end of the day, it's clearly a family business, as well as all the other amazing staff that you have. Okay, well, listen, it's been lovely speaking to you, and it's great to be the first live interview as well. And I love the fact that the penny's dropping, James, as to what you've contributed, not to your own business per se, but to the wider community, and same as marching and employing people and, you know, paying wages and all that kind of stuff, and keeping the place looking good.
Yeah.
All right. Anne Russell, James Russell from Glenard Pant, both of you, congratulations once again on being the winners of the Hall of Fame, and continued success to you and the whole family and all of your staff going forward. And we really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you.
Congratulations to James and Anne and all at Glenard Plant, from Hugo, Madeline and family in Kilmacrenan. James McLean here, community activist, particularly in the field of disability. I think it shouldn't be lost that both Kelly's and Glenard have always been positive in offering work experience and employment for people with disabilities. Huge congratulations to James and Anne, Denise, Eamon, Christine and Sarah, and all their staff on their wonderful achievement. No doubt behind every good man is a wonderful woman, from Joan Carmel McGeady. There's absolutely no doubt. You only have to spend a little time in Anne's company, you can realise the pivotal role she's playing it all. Eamon and the team at Glenard have been brilliant in helping us restoring the Porthouse building in the centre of the town. Very professional and helpful service, which is much appreciated. Congratulations to Marcin and his team, Kieran and Josephine, and all of them great. All of them great, says Mary. And on it goes. And a congratulations to our own team too, recognised at the Letterkenny Chamber of Business Awards 2003. Sean Quinn, Head of Sales at Highland Radio. It would have been remiss, Sean, of me not to bring you in and congratulate you on the team for the award for excellence in marketing, which is double-pronged in that, obviously, this is a service provided by Highland to an extent as well. So to be recognised for excellence in that area, as I say, it's a win-win.
Yeah, and it's lovely to be recognised. We took a bit of a journey during COVID, Greg, where we looked strategically at our marketing, we looked at our website, we took time to see how can we better what we do. For years, we've been doing things so well, but it was always a great opportunity to look and see where can we move this forward. And we've done that. We've put the resources in and we're reaping the rewards, not across everywhere, across on air, online, on digital, And it's fantastic. And I think we're getting stronger and we're getting better at what we do.
Yeah, because, you know, media is a difficult space in that we've seen, you know, a lot of newspapers close very, very sadly. Others are struggling somewhat on a national scale. You know, and we see people to some extent moving away from radio to podcasts or whatever it might be. That being said, and I think we're very lucky in that, and it's down to the loyalty of our listeners in that, you know, we are often seeing an upward curve in those areas, bucking the trend that here in the Northwest, people still want to listen to programming. But my point being is that we're also meeting people's needs in the online space, which is what you've been referencing there, which is also very important for the future, because you always want to be bringing a new generation of listeners or viewers or interactors through.
Absolutely. And I think if you keep doing the same thing, you get the same results. And I'm a big advocate of that. But we have a strong brand. And sometimes it's a challenge to try and make a strong brand even better. And I think as a team collectively, I think we're doing that at the moment. I think we've never been in a stronger position. You're seeing more of Highland. And you were one of the first people to actually start that, Greg, with your Facebook Live during your shows. And what we've done is we've just expanded from there. And we've offered it now to our customers to help them to promote their businesses through our listeners.
Yep. And it's a collaboration. You know what I mean?
100%.
We're using
Absolutely.
Our platforms and our skill sets where, you know, there's some gaps there out there, some businesses out there that go, well, you know, we need to be doing a little bit more in that space. So we need to be, you know, have we a present on TikTok, for an example? Do you know what I mean? And marry that too, maybe with the on-air stuff. Because and I hate talking like this because it sounds like we're blowing our own trumpet, but I don't mean to. But we have the highest market share of any radio station. And someone told me recently that she couldn't find a highest market share in Europe. So that is the amount of people that listen every day for a long period of time. I think it's around about 64 at the moment. Other stations are around 20, 25. So in other words, they might switch on the radio for one event in the day on a particular station. And again, I'm not being critical of anyone else, by the way, in trying to elevate us. But we have this amazing thing with our listeners where they put the radio on in the morning and they stay through it.
They stay with us.
So you can offer that. Yeah. Reach to a client, but also then you can say, well, what about, you know, Instagram? What about Facebook? What about TikTok? What about these other areas as well? And that's where you have your team that can help businesses in that, offering the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and I think what we've also brought is experience that and we're able to actually go and help a business to develop their business and come up with creative ideas.
Tool them, yeah.
That's the key, being creative, being different, helping a business to grow through different methods. And you know, touch wood, we're on the right journey. We're bucking the trend as well, Greg, where a lot of people historically have thought, let's try Facebook, let's do this. A lot of companies are struggling now to grow their Facebook page. Mm. We're bucking that trend. Mm-hmm. We've grown year on year, where we've now got over 46,000 followers on our Facebook page. Our Instagram has gone over 10,000. That was a challenge to get there. We've done that. And TikTok is like, we've had some incredible results on TikTok. But that's a small part of what we do. Our core business is what we're sitting doing now at the moment, is talking to our listeners and delivering quality programs on a daily basis.
Yeah, indeed. And long may it continue. Sean, thanks very much indeed.
Pleasure.
Congratulations to you, as I say, and all of the team.
The whole team.
The whole
exactly.
team. All right, yep. Okay. We'll be back with the news at 11.